Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
All right, folks, we're going to jump right in, continuing our conversation from last week on what motivates liberalism. If you didn't listen to that previous episode, that's kind of the introduction. And I'm talking about this because, as I mentioned previously, in having conversations with people explaining why the liberal agenda is progressing the way it is, I'm noticing that there is an honest misunderstanding or ignorance of what's the driving force behind the political left. People just don't understand it. When you start to explain it to them, they give you a look like, are you a conspiracy theorist? Are you making this stuff up? And I want to just point out what obviously motivates liberals and Democrats and socialist progressives. I want to point it out based on their words and their behavior. It's so obvious. They're giving it away. They're showing their true colors in the agenda that they're pushing. And so let's continue that discussion. Last time we said the first motivating force basically is greed. Greed. America is the world's prosperity pie, and liberals want a piece of it, and a way to get a piece of that pie is through the government, through politics, through the politics of theft, which is socialism, through wealth redistribution. And on that, a note on that, just so you understand, when we say wealth redistribution of socialism, you got to realize every time a government abolishes property rights and confiscates wealth and redistributes it as a way of bribing votes and appeasing the masses, it's not just a movement of money from one place to another. The people making the collection, the government, the one confiscating all the wealth, they're keeping all the wealth. That's why it's greed and theft. And then they're just giving out a little bit here and there where they need to. But it's not this Robin Hood help the poor thing. That's a cover for collecting and consolidating all the wealth away from the prosperous. And in the world, that is America, the richest and freest nation. So let's continue. The next motivating force, very simply, very basic, is resentment, bitterness. And again, I know you might be thinking, really? Is it that shallow or simple? But the answer is yes. These are basic motivating forces in human nature, evil impulses. And resentment or bitterness is very close to this idea of greed, but it's got more of the element of hatred and jealousy in it. Again, we used the word last time, coveting. This resentment is strong, hateful coveting. That's the resentment. And here's the idea behind this. The political left, in America specifically, has this view of our country. You got to understand, they talk this way. We as America, particularly Christian white America, we have exploited the poor of the earth and minorities for the duration of our existence. We have picked on every class of people and oppressed them and gotten our freedom and wealth and prosperity and greatness from the sweat of their backs and from oppressing them. So America, as I've said before, and as conservative commentators often say, this is what the left thinks of America. This is their resentment. America is just a country of white, racist, bigots, sexists, homophobes who hate women, hate blacks, hate Hispanics, hate minorities, hate the poor, hate homosexuals, transgenders, transvestites, transsexuals, trans animals, trans anything else you can think of. We hate them all, and we're just out to get them, and we exploit them and take advantage of them. This resentment, this bitterness, this jealousy fuels their agenda and their desire really to punish America, to punish prosperous America, and to punish what is traditionally white Christian culture. And I'm not the one making racial distinctions. My point is, this resentment is coming from the left. James 4:2 from the Bible epitomizes the attitude of the left. You desire and do not have, that's the greed. So you murder, that's the bitterness. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You got to understand, liberalism, leftist politics, is grievance politics. It's anger politics. It's the politics of protests. Occupy Wall Street and all these organizations that are always stirring the pot and creating anger and dissension and discord because there's some injustice that's happening, being perpetrated by the larger society of America against the oppressed. It's grievance politics. Obama, here you go. Perfect example. You didn't build that. You didn't build that. If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. That was his famous quote, I believe in the 2012, if I'm not mistaken, the summer of 2012, that presidential campaign, somewhere around there. Here's a longer quote. Look, Obama says, if you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than anybody else. Let me tell you something, he says. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. So that's his resentment. You didn't do it. You took advantage of people to get where you are, rich America. That's his attitude. How about the mantra of the left that we've been hearing, especially with Obama running his last presidential campaigns for the last 8 years? Everybody's got to pay their fair share. The rich have to pay their fair share. They have to be punished. Can I give you an analogy? It's the Gollum complex. If you've seen Lord of the Rings, I'm not going to go Lord of the Rings nerd on you, but for a second, the Tolkien series, Lord of the Rings, one of the biggest characters is Gollum. And what's his line that he says the whole time? My precious, he's talking about the ring, my precious. And he hates anybody who has it. He hates Frodo, the main character. He wants to kill him. And the whole movie is spent watching him deteriorating over his envy and coveting of this ring. And he's bitter and angry, he's trying to murder everybody, and he chases Frodo throughout the entire series, trying to get this ring, this precious ring that he calls my precious. And he hates the characters, the hobbits, who possess the ring, who are having it because it's their fault, they're hoarding it, and they're oppressing his existence. And in the mind of these leftists, they're golems. And America is the great evil on the earth that has hurt everyone. And the reason there's all these problems in the world is because America did it. America's not exceptional. Listen to Obama's pastor that he went to, the church in Chicago that Obama went to for years. Famous quote from Pastor Jeremiah Wright. After 9/11, Jeremiah Wright, Obama's pastor, said this, quote, America's chickens are coming home to roost. You know what that means? That means 9/11, America got what it deserved because of the evil it's perpetrated against the world. It got what it deserved on 9/11. He also was quoted saying, God bless America? No. And then he uses blasphemous remarks. He says, God, not going to say it, fill in the blank, America, basically pronounces a curse on America. That's Obama's church pastor. Talk about resentment. When Obama first became president, he went on an apology tour around the world saying things like this, America has shown arrogance. He's saying this to other countries in Europe and Middle East, throughout the world. America has shown arrogance, world. America has been dismissive to you, even derisive. We have not been perfect. This is all Obama's quotes. We sought to dictate our terms. We went off course. We have our own darker periods in our history. This is the theme. This is the foreign policy left. This is the attitude of the left. America is hurting the world. And it's because America is free and prosperous, and they resent that. And it absolutely has to do with the fact that Obama is exploiting the whole civil rights issue and this grievance politics of being the persecuted minority. He's speaking for minorities as the self-proclaimed first black president who broke through the glass ceiling and achieved something for the oppressed minorities in this country and around the world. He's the first black president. Now he's the spokesman, even though his mother was white. It's so ridiculous. All they do is peddle race and play the race card. And so he's the spokesman for worldwide minority oppression. And now that he's president, he can say, there's a new sheriff in town, and America is going to be different now, get what it deserves, and it's going to be different to the world. I'm going to make it better, because now the minorities are able to run things and, again, punish and get back at the supremacist culture in America, the white supremacist culture. And again, this is not conservatism. I don't care whether the guy's black, white, green, purple, yellow, whatever. What matters is the content of a man's character, Martin Luther King said. Not the color of his skin, but for the left, man, everything is race, everything is grievance politics, everything is, it's the Christian, white, prosperous America's culture. It's their fault. It's that culture's fault. Look, the epidemic of police brutality against minorities and blacks. It's a running theme. Here's Harry Reid. Talk about bitterness and resentment. Here's Harry Reid, the Democrat Senate Minority Leader. So one of the biggest spokesmen for the Democrat Party in the whole country, officially. He said this in the floor of the Senate like a week and a half ago or so. Instead of recognizing the concerns of communities riddled by decades of police brutality and racial injustice. Do you hear that? That's the race card. And that is grievance politics, resentment against the majority culture. Instead of recognizing police brutality and racial injustice, Republicans have vilified the Black Lives Matter movement, which has drawn attention to these disturbing inequities. Black Lives Matter movement, it's a hate group. That's all that is. Black, and it's preposterous. It flips morality. And I said, Black Lives Matter, so white lives don't matter. Hispanic lives don't matter. Asian lives don't matter. There's a difference in the value of lives. And the Black Lives Matter movement is based upon the completely false claim of hands up, don't shoot from Ferguson, Missouri. That did not happen, hands up, don't shoot. The guy that got shot was attacking the cop. It was an issue of self-defense and stopping a criminal. But it's all built on a lie. It doesn't matter. Black Lives Matter now becomes this do-good group, which it isn't at all. He goes on. This is Harry Reid. Rush Limbaugh has gone so far as labeling the protesters a hate group for trying to bring equality to our system. I'm interrupting. It is a hate group. It's an aggressive racial hate group, creating strife and anger everywhere and protests. And it's so odd that this guy's got to mention Rush Limbaugh in the floor of the Senate. That's how much they hate conservatives. Rush Limbaugh, no offense, and I love the guy, he's just a slightly chubby guy with a microphone that people listen to on the radio. He has no power, but these guys resent conservatives so much that they have to complain about conservative spokesmen on the floor of the Senate. This is ridiculous. He goes on to say this. This is Harry Reid. No one is safe from this Republican vitriol. Republicans demagogue women seeking health care through Planned Parenthood. Republican candidates use women, infants, and children seeking refuge from terrorism to fearmonger. We all know that on race and other controversial issues, Republicans have long practiced subtle bigotry. What is this guy talking about? But it's, again, resentment. And he's just bringing up every minority and class of people to say Republicans hate them, women and children. The Republicans now simply say out loud the many things, he says, which they used to merely hint. So he's saying we're showing our cards now. Words have power. And when spoken by influential leaders, they infiltrate every corner of our society. And we know how exaggerated and untruthful and unfair the film that was put together as some B-grade movie has so maligned Planned Parenthood. Again, hating on the right. Hating on the right for making those movies. Those movies are cutting up babies and putting their parts in trays and Petri dishes and selling them. And it's our fault? We're fear-mongering? It's ridiculous. Resentment, bitterness. How about Obama's comment in Paris after the Colorado Springs shooting happened like 2 weeks ago, just after Thanksgiving? He goes to Paris, and this is Obama. He says this. I mean, I say this every time we've got one of these mass shootings. This just doesn't happen in other countries. Wait, what? Where was he? In Paris. After one of the worst shootings, terrorist attacks in recent history. He has the nerve to stand up in Paris and say that. Completely disgraceful and degrading. I don't even have words for that. How can you say that in Paris after tons of their citizens were brutally murdered? And then a couple weeks after that, you say, well, you know, this just doesn't happen in other countries. That's insane. Now, the only reason a guy would say that is if he particularly resents America. The only way a guy could be blind enough to say in Paris, where there was just a horrible mass shooting, the only way a guy could be blind enough to say, yeah, there's no mass shootings anywhere else except in the U.S., is if he particularly hates the U.S. and wants to draw attention to the fact and point, emphasize the fact, point at the fact that America's the worst with its crazy gun liberties. They're so obsessed with hating our country that they can be standing at the epicenter of bloodshed, of a terrorist massacre, and be blind to it and still say, yeah, America's worse than this. Nothing compares to the evil in America. Meanwhile, he's standing in the middle of evil that just was perpetrated in Paris. Unreal. After 9/11, what did our federal government do? They convened meetings at the State Department to ask themselves, why do they hate us? Why do the Islamists hate us, the Islamic terrorists? So rather than having the response, the entire federal government, of this is abject evil, we have to destroy terrorism and militant Islam, they say, why do they hate us? Again, it's our fault. It's our fault. We've created these angry Islamic terrorists because we've been mean to everybody. Open borders and amnesty. Why does the left support open borders and amnesty? The left supports open borders and amnesty. Here's why. Because it's not fair to Latin American countries that they're poor in the Western Hemisphere and we're rich. It's our fault. Somehow it's white America, conservative Christian culture's fault that we're rich and all the Latin American countries are poor. We've exploited them, taken advantage of them, and now we want to keep them out and close the border and not let them come in. And we're so mean and nasty and selfish, and they should be allowed to come in. Why can't they have what we have? Coveting, jealousy. So borders got to be open, and we need to declare nationwide amnesty and let them in. Because again, Obama, as the leading spokesman of minority grievance politics, says, this is the plight of minorities worldwide because of America, and it's our job to pay back. Rape culture on college campuses. You've been hearing it now for years, this liberal narrative. There's a rape culture on college campuses. Rape culture on college campuses. Why? Because women are the victims and because the left resents what they consider white male dominance. All these white young men are just sexually driven and are misogynists and hate women and treat them like property, and they're raping them everywhere on the college campuses. And some of these rape stories come out to be not true. False. False narratives. Made up. And yes, I'm not saying there's not rape and there's not rape on college campuses. It happens. What I'm saying is the left takes these things like, interaction between police and criminals, or, issues of rape that have come up in the past. They take it all. They lump it all together. They exploit it and they use it to create this narrative that, the majority culture in America is oppressing every minority and class of people that they come across. Resentment. It's what motivates the left, guys. You got to understand. I've given you so much material here. Does it make sense? Greed and resentment. Okay. I'm going to do one more episode on this because it's important to understand what motivates the liberal left. Because they are foaming at the mouth with hatred. And we got to understand the third element of what fuels that hatred. But one final concluding summary statement here, because I'm personally obsessed with being clear. You need to understand this to get them. The left's big claim is that everyone is a victim of the supremacist, hate-filled majority in America. And so the resentment is justified, and this country just has to be punished with horrendous liberal policy in the name of so-called equality and restitution against past offenses. And what is that majority? Well, for sure, make no mistake, it's the white male Christian population, particularly Protestant. That majority is the great oppressor of the earth as far as the liberals are concerned, allegedly prejudiced against everyone else and everything. That represents America to them, and they hate it. You know, think founding fathers, a bunch of rich, angry, old, bigoted Christian men from Europe that stole everyone's stuff, like the Indians' property. White Christian males have been victimizing everyone since the country's very inception, so the story goes, from women to Hispanics to Indians, from blacks to the trees and animals and environment, to transgenders and trans objects that someone attracted to random objects, all the way to peaceful Islamists. It all started with the Indian ravaging pilgrims, right? Then continued through the misogynistic, women-suppressing male aristocracy of early America. This is the liberal version of history, guys. You got to understand that. Then the evils of slavery and racism, those were never overcome by a grand civil war, right? Nor turned back with a successful civil rights movement. No, we are just as racist as ever. And not one positive step has been taken in the direction of racial equality since the first slave ship arrived. Police are still recklessly murdering innocent blacks in the streets just for being black, just for being a black pedestrian, so they tell us. And your responsibility is to be riddled with white guilt and become compliant to liberal demands. And now, the poor Muslims, the newest American victim, terrible are prejudices against them. Never mind that we are the ones getting blown away by Muslims in our very own peaceful communities. No, that doesn't matter. It's our fault because it's always been our fault. We made them feel bad. They're angry and in the condition that they're in ideologically because we made them feel bad from the very beginning and picked on them. That's the politics of resentment and hate. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Liberalism is the philosophy of victimization and grievance politics. Everyone has a grievance against the majority American culture because everyone is a victim of American cruelty, whether minorities at home or foreign nations abroad. This grievance, or better termed resentment politics, is the source of all the hateful, maniacal, and outlandish rhetoric coming from the left. Like when Senator Harry Reid says Republicans have always been bigots. This is what they are saying, folks, straight from their mouths. I read the quotes. Come on now, don't believe the hype. The left is not compassionate. They're greedy and bitterly acrimonious and resentful because they are at the core jealous of the success of Christianity and the fruit it has wrought in America. Minorities must always be cast as the victim, and white liberals who aren't minorities must fall in line, castrate themselves, and buy into the shame-ridden identity of white guilt so they can help propel the leftist agenda. That's the mentality of these power-hungry liberals, white guilt and oppressed social classes. Divide up the population and conquer. Seems to work every time for liberals when they want to attack our tradition and heritage with their wild agenda. So when liberals start to whine about how we hurt yet another class of civilians in their laundry list of victims, just hand them a tissue to dry their sad, salty little tears, and then go ahead, hold their feet to the fire.